From NM to AZ, they are back, baby. Welcome to the Dipped in Butter program with Kat and Wes.
Around episode 200, I might not give a fuck no more and all that shit.
I turned the wheel to the right this time. Turned the key backwards and went to start it again. Click.
Clearly, you're going to have to open your butthole up to a new doctor.
This is not a section of the podcast where I tell a lie. You should have given all the beans. The burgers, the BJs, all the beans. The buttholes, all the beans. I hope you have, like, I hope you're in the mood to, like, really, like, delve into some shit, because I really need you this week.
Let's talk about it.
All right. Welcome to the Dipped in Butter program. Good morning, good evening, happy Tuesday, happy Thursday, happy President's Day. Hopefully y'all had yesterday off or Monday off or a couple Mondays ago off. Wherever this is finding you, however you're receiving this, I hope this show finds you in good health, genuinely. We joke around a lot here on the podcast. There are no jokes this week. Seriously, no joke. But that's a joke. This is the number one mixtape podcast. This is the number one place where you go to listen to lies. See, I started with a lie, we'll end with a lie, and there'll be lies in the middle like stuffed crust pizza. Mm-hmm. The number one pizza place, as we learned last week, the number one person of podcast pizza places is across from me. His name is Wes with no T. That's Forever Young 89. That's a motherfucking goddamn glue around here. That is our editor-in-chief. Our producer extraordinaire. Downstairs, they call him New Daddy. Round here, we call him our friend, and I am excited to talk to him, and I hope that he has a lot of patience on his shoulders today, because I'm going to be a handful today.
Nah, I do, buddy. I have a lot of patience. I've got a lot of deep talk built up in me, I guess, if that's what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? I might be able to, you know, flip it and reverse it and, you know, figure some things out. We might be able to help each other figure some things out today.
I love to hear.
Yeah. We won't digress into that too far at the top. My guy across from me with the hottest takes in the United States, or the saddest takes today, you never know what we're going to get. That is Kat, okay, with two T's on the end of that thing. You can catch my man over at youtube.com/dippedinbutterprogram, where my man's definitely trolling in the comments, but he means it and he means well.
I do mean it.
He definitely means exactly whatever he's putting there. But most and more importantly, you can catch my guy here each and every Tuesday, or whichever day is pod day in your life, right here on the Dipped in Butter program. Wherever podcasts are placed, because that's where this one goes. The host and creator of this motherfucking ship that we captain each and every goddamn week. We haven't missed one. Like, at this point, it's getting exciting seeing, like, 3 years ago, this was the pod that you put out in my, like, the shit's kind of wild, and I fuck with it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So each and every Tuesday or whichever day is pod day, you know what I'm saying, that whole spiel is definitely going to be there whenever you get to it. Big money out in just Chicago and in San Fran. Slim Jim right here on the pod, GYM, if you know, you know. My nigga and yours. Let's bond.
Yeah, let's bond, bro. Let's start light, though. Let's start on the top layer of this sadness casserole that we're about to bake here in the pocket. You know, I'm joking, but you know me, bro. I get uncomfortable. I make light of situations when I'm uncomfortable. And I think that's a damn, as I'm saying that, I'm figuring shit out in real time that we need to talk about today. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm a sick man. Y'all know that. I overthink. I get in my mind. And that's part of the fun of this show, right? Or at least I hope so. I hope that's what y'all find entertaining, along with how genuinely talented Wes is at helping captain this ship. And I hope that all of this is like a souffle of flavors that all of y'all get to enjoy for the week. And hopefully that my pain and experiences and Wes's pain and experiences find somebody out there and either helps or makes y'all laugh or whatever. And all the shit that people say on YouTube to get you to click the like button. And now that all that's out the way, let's start light. The other day, I was getting dressed as I do to go to work, or I was running some errands for the day or something. And the way I kind of get dressed is, I think we've talked about this before. It's like, I'll target a specific article of clothing that I want to wear, and then I'll build my outfit around that, right? Okay. And I could start with a pair of shoes. Like, I could decide, like, I want to wear them Jordan 4s today, and then I'll just build the outfit around that. But it doesn't always have to be shoes. Like, maybe I want to wear that shirt today, or maybe right. I want to wear a vest, right? Like, I just know I want to wear a vest today, and I just got to build the outfit around the vest, right? So I was doing my normal thing where I'm like building an outfit around one specific piece, and I always wear a hat because I'm a bald nigga, and I'm not a balding nigga. I'm just a bald nigga. I'm LL Cool J bald. Like, I could have hair, but I just don't want any hair, right?
Me and my wife talked about that again the other day.
Like, about me or just that?
Yeah, no, you.
And God damn it. See, y'all stressing me out. So hopefully somewhere in there you can tell me what y'all talked about, but like, I'm a bald nigga by choice because I like the bald. I actually like the way it looks on me, and I always wear a hat, and it's just like, I think a lot of people probably wonder, like, okay, if you're a bald nigga and you bald by choice, why you just keep putting on a hat, dog? Like, we'll just fucking wear the ball since you're so proud of it. And y'all are probably right. Y'all are probably right. I'm probably wrong. But proud I like hats. Nigga. I like hats. And my hat taste, and maybe there's other hat niggas out there listening, maybe you're a semi-hat nigga. Like, my hat tastes are starting to become more refined than they used to, right? Like, I used to be like, when I go looking for hats, I used to be like, are those colors that I have in an outfit? Right. Give me the hat. You know what I'm saying? But I'm starting to be more and more refined in my taste to where, like, I don't like fitteds. I don't like fitted hats anymore. Yeah. I'm starting to really hate flat brim hats, especially like big old flat brims. Like, yeah, if it's a wide and flat, oh, Jesus. Like, I'll see hats that I like. Like, I like the symbol and I like the colors and I'll put it on my head. And if it's a fitted wide flat brim, I'll gently bow it back out and put it back on the rack. And like, the one that I got on today, like our Dipped in Butter merch, mm-hmm. the ones that you ordered, you did a great job, by the way. Like, this is what I want out of all my hats. Like, I want a bent brim. I want a hat fix. And I like a strap in the back. Like, I don't even really want, if I can get rid of all my snaps, I would.
I understand
that. I
want
a dad hat in all my collection.
I'm with that. And it helps you understand when you was a young nigga, when you would always see the old nigga with the same fucking hat on, or the same three mm-hmm. or four hats in his arsenal. Or if mm-hmm. you even go back to watching, like, The Sandlot, nigga, back in the day when them niggas had to, you know what I'm saying? Like, huh, I just, niggas just
put a hat in
my back pocket, just fang, like, it's something in a hat. And, like, the same way that I feel, like, I meant to call you and fuck with you the other day because I had on my Bishop hat, which is still one of my favorite hats. I'll toss it on every now
and then. We did all right.
Yeah, and like, that is still one of the most fly hats I think exist ever. Like, of all,
you know, time. I thought about doing a Dipped in Butter Vish Hip collab jacket. I should still do that. You
probably should. I like that.
We idea. Should do that.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of that. But like, I had it on the other day. And like, again, I used to be a heavy hat dude. You know what I'm saying? And like, I definitely scaled it back. Like, I think, you know, particularly with haircuts being expensive, like, I'm gonna show this motherfucker off. So fuck a hat. Like, a hat is what goes on like 5 or 6 days after a haircut. Like, but after I pay for this haircut, you're gonna see this goddamn haircut. And then when shit starting out looking so well, that's when we get back into the hats. But then even still, like, you gotta be careful wearing hats all the time, right? Yeah. For a nigga who's still trying to preserve whatever hairline he got.
Because you'll lay that shit down forever.
Yeah, man, what? You'll put it three letters, took us to his final resting place. Like, that shit will get you right up out of here.
Quick question, too, and not to cut you off, but as a nigga that has ever had waves in their life, because mm-hmm. I know you've had waves, I've cut them before. Mm-hmm. I have never had waves. When you see people that really, really groom the fuck out of their hair and their waves, and I'm talking about them niggas that put on like 2 stocking caps and then they brush their waves. Wave cap, and they lay their hair to where like it cannot move, mm-hmm. but then you start seeing the crown of their head starting to spread.
Right.
And as a barber, I know that you can put too much stress on your waves, and that's what leads to male pattern baldness at an accelerated rate. Mm-hmm. And because niggas be loving their waves so much and don't let their hair breathe and brush it constantly, that's the equivalent to frying your edges for a chick. You know what I'm saying? And right. I'll be wondering, like, do niggas know how much damage they doing to their hair by loving their waves so much?
Yeah, more than likely, probably not. And like, all that shit, bro, I'm telling you, I feel like this is in like the last 3 years where I seen niggas have long hair, but they've like brushed it down and done shit to it to get the way. And it's like, I've seen niggas with these kind of waves, and if you've told me my whole life this nigga could pick this motherfucking hair up and there's really an afro under there, like, that's actually fucking crazy. And I don't respect those as well, because I know niggas who could really achieve that the right way. So like, if that's the way that you got, That's a hairstyle like a motherfucker, dog. You might as well have finger waves.
I like that. That's a hairstyle. That is called a laid finger wave. That is not waves. That's finger waves.
And that's absolutely ridiculous if you got to go through all that. Like you say, you got to wear two fucking stocking caps and wash your hair through the shower caps and brush your hair through it. Like, fam, what are we now? I can respect the, again, I know that there's a quick wave natural process that some niggas are able to achieve. Like, I've seen niggas kind of do the warm rag. Let me show you
how quick I can bust shit. You down.
Yeah, and like that's cool. But like again, if you gotta break out the motherfucking Palmer's blue grease and brush your shit down to achieve the waves, I'm not respecting that. That's not flying.
I agree with you. And to circle back around to the hat shit, like I bring it up and talk about my refined hat taste changing and shit because I was watching some sneaker YouTube content as I normally do, right? Like even when I'm not shopping, I watch sneaker content. And it just interests me to see what niggas is going crazy over, what they not going crazy over, what's coming out, et cetera, et cetera. And there's this dude that came across my algorithm and he's probably in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, around my or our age, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting in front of the camera and he's got a sneakers behind him. I got no beef with any of this setup, right? Like if I was doing sneaker YouTube, this is how my shit would look too. Like he's got his sneakers behind him, he's got his camera in front of him and he's talking sneakers. But here's what upset me, and I wrote it down to come here and talk about, was he was talking into the camera, he's clearly in his older 30s, and he's sitting there with his hat on, but it's broke off to the right like this. Like, he wears his hat intentionally. Like, when I say broke off to those y'all that might not be from Chicago or don't know what I'm talking about, that means you have your hat to the front per se, but it's twisted to one direction, like 50 Cent when In the Club came out.
Yeah, nah, bro. That shit instantly, like, maybe it's just with that hat on, but even when I see him and you brought up Chicago, it instantly put me inside of an open mic, nigga. Like, I just
hold up. See, you understand everything. Like, I feel like as soon as you turn your hat that way, like, I can already see the lanyard with your car keys on them around your neck. Like, and I can already see the beaded bracelet in the fucking Techno Marine. Bro, why is anybody still wearing their hat cock to the side?
I don't know, bro, but for whatever reason, I feel like all I can hear is Donnell Jones. Ooh, say what? Like, as soon as you go to turn your shit to the side, that's all that starts.
I don't like broke off hats. Like, I got rid of the broke off, like the slight twist. I think early in the game, I looked in the mirror one time and decided, like, I can't wear my hat like this no more. I think that was our 06, I was already done with twisting my hat a little bit.
Like,
but
even when Kanye said it in 03, 04, it was old. Like, Bull's jacket with his hat
broke way off.
That's because it was throwback. Like,
yeah. He was telling you about a time. Like, when Kanye rapped about it on College Dropout, he was referring you to a time in history. He wasn't saying, currently walk around where my hat broke way off. So when I see that, it bothers me. And as we talked about, we're going to do this a lot this episode. As we talked about at the top of the show, I look at shit and I reflect on myself, right? So when I saw him and I got grossed out by his hat being twisted to the side, I started thinking about me. And my go-to for a hat is straightforward with a bent brim, which I still think is classy enough. Mm-hmm. One day, maybe the bent brim is going to be like, ugh, nigga, you still bend your brims? Like, why are you trying to destroy your clothes as soon as you buy them? Like, that might be out of here one day. But what I'm doing that's a little bit iffy and that I need to bring to your attention, and maybe you can tell me if it's time to let this go or not, because I think it might be. I'm a straight to the back hat nigga too. Like, if my hat isn't a dad hat, if it is a flat brim, the flat brims that I got left, I'll turn it straight backwards. Like, yeah, nah, I'm starting to look in the mirror and be like, am I too old for this though?
I mean, it just depends. Like, it's because some, like,
I like the smile on your face because you kind of want to tell me, yeah.
I do. Because I've had this conversation with myself. Same thing with, like, the hat to the back and kind of to the side. Like, what we going to call that? T.I. style, maybe? Like,
swear to God, I'd be scared that when I turn my hat to the back, it be kind of to the side. Because, like, I don't want it kind of to the side.
And it does, but it happens sometimes. And I think, but it just depends. I think it depends on the whole setup and the whole situation.
Of course.
Like, I think it's just something that you always got to be mindful of, right? Because you can put your hat to the back, but, like, it's my hat to the back and now it's leaning down and, like, now I look crazy because it ain't really, like, showing the way that I want it to be shown. Yes. So, like, it's something that you have to be conscious of while you rocking it with the fit. But, like, same way, like, I feel even with the, like I say, my favorite hat, the best hat that I think is ever made, like, like it is, it's kind of weird with the snaps on it. You know, I'm like, snapbacks are definitely preferred over fitteds, like, and I would definitely prefer that, but like,
but a strap is better than all.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the hat that we had made. Like, I still have mines, but at this point, it's like fucking old and worn. Like, you know what I'm saying?
We gotta
get the new swag. Yeah, we gotta, yeah. And I'm getting pressed about hats all the time, bro.
Let's do the collabs. Let's just say fuck it and do the dipped in butter and chip collab.
Let's do it. I like that.
But, so like, yeah, I'm a little bit weary because I do understand I'm getting there up in age, and I always want to be conscious because I come on here on a podcast and talk shit about a lot of people and I throw my theories around all loosey goosey. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to be the kind of nigga that I can sit here behind a microphone and nobody can check me and I can throw all the theories out I want and nobody can ever throw a theory back at me like, Cat, right. You say niggas need to stop rapping at a certain age, but maybe you need to stop twisting your hat backwards at a certain age. So I'm not immune to criticism here. I just need to like do the Hulk Hogan squiggle hand and do my ear to the crowd and let y'all tell me what's up. So if y'all think maybe I need to put up a poll or something, like if y'all think I need to stop turning my hat straight backwards, because here's the thing. Me in the comfort of my own home with my New York fitted turned straight to the back ain't really bothering nobody. It's when I'm out and about with my daughter and I'm crossing the street and she's holding my hand and I got my hat to the back. That's when I feel most vulnerable. Like, is people looking at me like I'm like the hip hop dad that just cannot let go of his youth? Dude. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, young nigga ass old dude.
Yeah. Oh, young ass old nigga. Because for me, what I used to shake my head at in the early 2000s when I used to be like in Eastland Mall, like shopping at Man Alive, it, for us, when we was coming up, it used to be the hip hop dads that wear like Iverson football jerseys. You knew if you see an old nigga with an Allen Iverson football jersey, he couldn't let go of his youth, right? And I never want to be an Iverson football jersey ass nigga.
Yeah, nah, that's wild. I ever saw football.
You know exactly what I mean when I say that, don't you? Like, you can already see the half red, half white do-rag, can't you?
I can see the sleeves, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm scared. I'm scared at all times.
I mean, conscious. My man, the overthinker. You are very aware.
Yeah. So I'm very keen on that. I'm trying to pay attention to fashion. I was doing that, and I was looking at shoe content, and then some other shit came across. Did you see that Donald Trump was at SneakerCon this past week?
I did.
Please tell me you saw that.
I saw them ugly ass shoes, so I'm aware.
Bro, so can we quickly just talk about that just real, real fast? So for those of y'all that don't know, there's a convention called SneakerCon. It's pretty, like, it's nationwide. They go to a lot of big cities. And what the purpose is like, they put on these conventions where sneakerheads can get together, buy, sell, trade, show off their collections, and be in common spaces with people with similar interests, just like a comic book convention, but for niggas with smelly feet, right? So you go to these things and you bring your boxes of Travis Scott's and you try to see if a nigga trades you for his Off-Whites, et cetera, et cetera. And I heard the news that Donald Trump will be making an appearance at this past week's SneakerCon. I swear to God, bro, when I first read this news, I thought it was a lie. I was like, okay, like, where's the Onion? Like, let me scroll all the way down and see, like, what comedy page this is. It took for me to see it a good 3 or 4 times before I was like, oh, shit, this nigga, Donald Trump is really coming. Because then I started reading, like, okay, people that have vendors at this event are going to want to show up 3 or 4 hours early due to security. I was like, oh, this nigga Donald Trump really is coming to SneakerCon? Like, that is the that's the collaboration crossover that I never saw coming. Because I've never seen, I've never seen Donald Trump's feet. Like, I don't know what shoes he wears. Like, I assume they're hard bottoms with suits. But I've never seen Donald Trump's feet before. So the fact that he was at SneakerCon was like, one, it was hilarious to me. And the more I kept hearing about it, the more interested I became. Like, well, why is he coming to SneakerCon? What is the point? What is his aim? Like, is he just trying to, like, because my mind first went to, is he just trying to, like, be identifiable with the younger crowd? Is he really just out there rubbing shoulders and trying to get, like, some props with some people that might not normally fuck with him? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those, it's so crazy, it just might work things, is what I was thinking. I was like, man, this is such a wild fucking concept that Donald Trump with his floppy ass toupee is going to show up at like the swaggiest fucking convention there is. It's just such a wild crossover that I'm like, this has got to generate at least people talking about it. I mean, it came across your feed, right? And you weren't looking for it.
I mean, yeah, I definitely wasn't looking for it. And like, again, it's like we on the campaign trail. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, this is definitely a move to probably garner some younger attention, because again, why the, this doesn't make any sense for like the regular, why you ain't do this 2 years ago? I'm pretty sure they had SneakerCon 2 years ago as well. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't relevant to your situation. And this has got to be one of those where it's like, well, this can't be no bad pub involved here.
There's
like,
no way this could be bad pub.
Yeah, this can only take us to the top. And then like you do something like drop these shoes that look like a bowling ball pin wrapped in a cape, like, and that's gonna get people talking as well, because they're ugly, like
they're somebody, so ugly. So
the MAGAs are bound to buy them up, I'm sure. Oh,
they sold out instantly. I know. Here's the thing that I found so interesting, right? Like, I'm not a Trump supporter by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll give props where props are due, right? And I gotta give his campaign props for this, because the shoes are so ugly that they're interesting, yeah, right? Because they only made 50 pair. On the tongue, it says, like, this is pair 2 of 50, 4 of 50. Sneakerheads love that shit, to be able to say, like, right, I have an exclusive thing, no matter how ugly they are. Right. I saw somebody on Twitter call them the January 6s, which just, I busted a gut laugh. That's pretty good. Oh, that's so good. And the shoes are so hideous that they do, like, a full 180 to where they're so ugly that I gotta have them. Like, I feel like if somebody had a pair, now I'm not going for them, but if somebody like had a pair in their trunk and could prove to me that they were from that day and wanted a reasonable price for them, I think I would cop, like, just to put them behind me for YouTube videos. Like, they're so fucking, I can already see them bound together by an elastic string and hung up on a Walmart display. Like, they look like Walmart shoes all day long.
So they look like Payless shoes, like something you could find on the shelf for sure. And knowing Trump, he might have found some old discontinued ass shoe. And bro, just like paint that bitch gold.
And put a flag on the ankle collar. Bro, I love the fact that it was probably like made in Vietnam for like 37 cents. You know, and that nigga just got his shit off. Like, I like good ideas, bro. I might not like Trump per se as a president, but I like a good idea. And I just really thought this was a good idea. Like you said, I don't see a loss in this. There's no losing.
Yeah, there's no bad publicity here. Like, and the worst thing that I seen about it was Trump shows up to SneakerCon a day after they told him he had like a $344 million tax bill or whatever the fuck it was. And it's like, so?
Yeah, that's like, some nigger shit. That's some nigger shit to owe money and go sneaker shopping. That's the niggerest shit ever. And in a time where like we can't seem to find a way where Joe Biden will win, in the same week, we can't find a way for Donald Trump to lose. And then, like, here we go again.
I guess the statement is true, bro, because I'm like, I feel like we just talk about Joe Biden so much, so long on this podcast. But, like, I guess the time does add up that we've been here for president changes and shit like that. Yeah. But like, what's up with dude, bro? Like,
where he at?
Like, he have a – like, am I missing something or is he missing something? Like, he's so confused – he's so confusing with the confidence that he portrays that he might be able to like pull this shit off again, that it's making me confused.
like show me the sheet again where you're looking at your numbers, dog. Cause you seem like you're very confident and I don't see it that way.
And like, again, I feel like the country always gets put in one of these situations, right? Like it's like every third election that we get into where it's like, all right, do we keep the nigga who already been here for the last 4 years? Or do we not fuck with him that hard?
Are we that desperate for change?
Yeah, are we that? And like, I don't know where we are.
I was going to ask you too. Where are you at? Just you personally. I'm not asking you to speak for the country. Right. You personally, where is your mind at with the presidency? Are you ready for change? Or if it was solely up to you, would you be like, oh, let the old nigga ride it out till he die?
You know, I think awareness is key for me here, right?
Okay.
So I think my answer ultimately is I would want to see something change right now, right? Because I want to know if it's me or if I'm crazy or like, again, I don't understand how all this shit works, but like, and again, I'm going back to awareness and just getting a little bit older. And again, I done bought a house now, you know, different shit is kind of moving for me. So my brain's kind of in a different place, but like, I would love to see how much the shit like that changes within whatever span of time, right? Because like, Does gas go back down a dollar? Yeah. Does groceries get a little cheaper? Like,
this tax is going to give us a break. Are we getting checks in the mail?
And it's like, okay, like, I don't ultimately understand how all of this shit is connected. Like, why we told this nigga yes, and then, like, 6 months later, shit was back cool again and everybody happy. Like, so what the fuck was the old nigga doing? And, you know, again, like, having a better understanding of everything. So I think right now, me personally, I wouldn't mind seeing a change. But I think ultimately, to kind of carry on with my stance, I always say, like, in my brain, and again, it's just could be my naivety and my ignorance, but when I wake up every day, there's nothing that them niggas have done for me ever that's affecting my everyday. Again, yeah. I still gotta go to work.
Wake me up when it bothers me, dog.
Yeah, it's still shit that I gotta do. So it's like, if Sleepy Joe gets another 4 years, all right, I guess he gonna sleep his way through it again. Like, that nigga looks dead, dog. Like, he looks old, dead. Like,
yeah. And two things real quick, so I'm not leaving you out there on the political plateau, because that is a difficult and tricky thing to talk about here in public, right? And on such an official platform where it's recorded. First, I'll say that the person that I liked is out of the running. Like, I was a fan of Ramley Shamalama Ding Dong, whoever dude was, bro, the Dr. Rich dude. Me and Donovan will watch his debates. Like, we fucked with him. So, like, now that he's out there, and even though he's Republican, I'm not a Republican, but I like dude. So he dropped out. I was like, I'm good. I don't need to watch no more.
And we had that conversation here all the time, too. Like, that's what makes it a turnoff, bro. Like, it probably would be different, bro. If Trump was not up there, like, basically being the poster child for Republicanism, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like, I wish people just got up there and popped their shit and told me what your plan was and how you plan on getting your plan.
Right, and that's why I like Ramaswamy, bro. Ramaswamy was getting up there grabbing his nuts and saying what he believed, bro. Like, and I like that.
It goes back to my name is Rami and I like it doggy style. Like, I really don't care what your preference is. I just really want to know what your plan is and how you're going to get it done.
I'm with you 100%. And then another thing I want to say before we get the fuck away from politics, right? Because this is not our expertise. One thing that has been kind of making me curious, and we never talk about politics really, so I haven't had a chance to bring it up. So this is the only chance I'll have to bring it up, is I feel like as pseudo-Democrats and as Americans, we've all gotten comfortable with saying, fuck, Joe Biden's doing a horrible job, right? Like, whether you're Democrat, Republican, that's one thing everybody agrees on, is that Biden is sucking, right? Black people agree that Biden is sucking. White people agree that my far leftist friends that I disagree on with shit agree that fuck Joe Biden. Like, they have told me fuck Joe Biden. I'm like, but y'all told us to vote for it. Anyway, that to the side, they've told me fuck Joe Biden. Everybody is comfortable saying fuck Joe Biden, right? What is he doing, right? But it's funny that nobody is comfortable saying fuck Kamala Harris. And that just interests me, because don't she work for the same place? Like, my very particular far leftist friends will say fuck Joe Biden in a heartbeat, but they will not say fuck Kamala Harris. And I'm just like, but they work.
I mean, in the same office. You're right, but it's almost like saying it come with like preloaded charges, right? Yeah. Like, a nigga's ready to like burn you down if you say, but like, what does she do? Where has she been? Like, that was almost, this is essentially, and again, he's been in politics for a long time, so of course people knew him, but that's what like boosted Joe Biden to fame. He was the vice president next to Barack, and we've seen these niggas doing stuff, and like, oh shit, that nigga is the vice president. Like, dog, where does she be at? What does she do? Like,
But we've said on here before that we had the theory before, but now we all the way know, is the vice president for Barack Obama was Michelle, for real. Like, we've said that on here before, but now we all the way know that Michelle was the vice president. It wasn't Joe Biden. Michelle was the one putting free lunches in cafeterias.
True. But still, but still, what is Kamala doing? Like, what's her?
Black. Yeah. We're a lot like, they might slap us in the chest and give us a little domestic violence and get mad at us as women of our culture. But leftist white men can't say fuck Kamala Harris, but I know they want to, but they won't say it.
Black people's main problem is tone, right? Black people don't like to hear nothing in a tone that they don't appreciate. But like, my question is legit. What are you doing? What have you done? Like, why can you not just educate me? Like, again, what's the problem with you? Is it the same conversation that we had about bitches not want to change their name? Because I became Dr. Molly off of this. Well, guess you'll become Dr. Molly Young off of this shit, too. You understand me? Like, it's nothing wrong with re-educating people. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So let's leave politics alone. Are you done with there? Because I don't want to like pull us away if you had important things you wanted to talk about our country.
Hell no.
Okay, let's get the fuck out of there. Let's talk about shoes and rap like we're familiar with and stay in our place. This past week, I told you I really enjoyed the Kanye Vultures Volume 1 album. I've really been enjoying it more, like, since it dropped. Like, normally me and you are kind of, like, text each other over the weekend when new rap music drops, and by Sunday, we won't even be talking to each other about it no more. So coming on here on a Monday's podcast and talking about it is really out of the question, because by Sunday, we'd be already tired of the new music, right? But me personally, I can't really speak to how you feel about it. Maybe you want to share your thoughts as well. But I am... my liking for that album is actually growing, which is something that's unfamiliar for me lately. Like, I had to go into my Tidal account and go through my downloaded albums to try to remember what the last album I listened to this regularly was rap. Because I listened to the Diddy album still, but that's R&B. And I was like, damn, when the last time I listened to a rap album this fucking much to where I like cared to learn the lyrics and played it every day? And it was 2002, Tyler's Call Me If You Get Lost. 2002 was the last time I listened to a rap album this much.
2022, not
2022. Thank you. 2022.
What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, Call Me If You Get Lost. 2022 was the last time I listened to a rap album this much. So I really am fucking with this Kanye album.
No, that's I'm trying to think. I haven't. I listened to it the first time. I listened to it two times back to back, right? And like the first time when I got to that goddamn Carnival, like that was the shit. Like I couldn't, I had to keep playing that Carnival back to back to back. Yeah.
That shit hard.
Had me turn. And then that into that Beg Forgiveness, I was like, yo, this is
that's
really
hard.
This is really a vibe. So the first two times around that and Vultures is really a
Vultures
slap.
Is crazy. Burn is
Vultures,
hard.
Yeah, Vultures is slapped up.
When you said what you said when we was fresh off of the drop about it being like the lost hard drive and he ain't fooling you and this is the Wolves hard drive. Like the more I listen to it, the more I can really, really tell this is old Kanye shit. And to me, that's more what I like about it because I respect him going, I'm not in this game shape anymore, but I do got old game tapes and maybe we can dust them off and put them out because I'm of the crowd that goes, I miss the old Kanye. And maybe this ain't the old college Kanye, but this is at least Yeezus Twisted Fantasy Kanye or 808s.
I guess a heavy part of my love about Kanye is what he does when it comes to production and making beats, right?
And orchestration.
So when you can hear that, that's also a part of the excitement of listening to the album. Now, what I don't appreciate from these niggas is getting my ear so used to motherfucking beautiful sounds and perfection in the mixing.
And then,
then just throw that shit out 20 years later. It's like, dog, you have tainted my ears that I want perfection out of everything. Mm-hmm. And now you're just like, yeah, fuck it. Leave it up that loud. Like, oh, God. Now I got to hear an unmixed album. But like,
bro, the sample on the Hood Rat song is so loud. Like, I like the sample, but could you please turn it down? Like, I know Kanye is known for going back into his albums and tinkering with shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're listening, turn that Hood Rat sample the fuck down, nigga.
So I haven't had a chance to run it back from the top again. And I don't know. Well, I am partially affected. I know that for sure. But I know they've been talking about all the streaming platform games of it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's there, it ain't there. Like last time I looked, my shit was there. However, Carnival and Beg Forgiveness were not there. And I'm like, yo, this is my reason really for being
wait a minute.
This is really my reason for being here right now. So if those are not there, there's no reason for me to like really tap back in all the way right now. So
these are my cranks.
But I have been interested to go back to it. And you know that's a
good thing. Another
thing to speak of. It makes me want to look though and see what's the last. I mean, outside of Drake, like that's a
gift. The last album you was really, really rocking. Like I'll tell you, he even got me excited about the rollout and the way he's handling his current status in the light, right? Because sometimes he drops shit and he's acting and talking crazy or he's looking wild or something like that. But I'm even kind of fucking with the way he's releasing videos and what he's putting on his socials right now. And maybe that's a direct result of me liking the music because I'm sure you've mentioned it before on here about like, nigga, all that other shit is other shit. Where the slaps at? If the slaps is good, then I'll maybe think about listening to what you're talking about, right? And I think that's why I got my ears open to what he's talking about. I even laughed at his Super Bowl commercial, bro. Like the nigga was sitting in the car like, we spent all our money on the commercial spot. We didn't have no more money left for the commercial, so just go to Yeezy.com. Like, I actually laughed at that. Like, I don't know if that was meant to be genius, but it was genius. And he got me so good to where I went on Yeezy.com and bought some Yeezy Pod shoe socks.
Of course you did.
They were only $20.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
They were $20. And then I had heard of those shoes when they was $200. And when I saw these sock things with plastic pods on the bottom, he wanted $200 for, and the album wasn't even out yet. Bro, I had so much things to say about Ye. I talked so much shit. But then fast forward a week and a half, the album is fire, and the Yeezy pods are $20. And I'm like, confirm purchase. I haven't gotten them in the mail.
I was about to say until 6 months from now when them bitches don't come.
But bro, I haven't gotten an order confirmation in my email. I don't got a tracking number. They might just took my money and ran, but yeah, fuck it, only $20. If I don't never get the socks, who cares?
Yeah, bro? They ran it up. Fine print said, you'll get them one day.
I'm clearly enjoying myself. I was telling my wife, like, I'm really enjoying being a Kanye fan right now. Like, this could all change in 2 weeks. It's done this before, right? Like, being a Kanye lover is like a roller coaster. You just either strap yourself in or you ask the little dude with the big shoes to let you off.
Yeah, like, I just don't. Like, I want people to stop shoving cameras and microphones in front of Kanye's face, right? Because he don't go nowhere for real and ask to, like, talk to nobody.
Put the camera on me so I can say this.
Yeah. Y'all just be outside with a camera and a microphone in his face so he say the wildest of shit. And, like,
you know he's sick.
Yeah, that's not my Kanye. Like, my Kanye is, like, some of the clips that I've seen from these shows. Like, I like when I see Kanye, and seeing Kanye excites me, right? So Kanye in the all black with the mask on, with the shit on, that excites
me. That's exciting
as a Kanye fan. Like, and to see him on stage bopping to the music, that's exciting for me.
Yeah,
like,
when he's enthralled in his music, that's the Kanye I like.
Yeah, seeing him outside with a titanium shark teeth, I could give a fuck. Like, I really do not care.
I'm with you. So I'm so excitable about the music to the point where I'm glad you mentioned it, because I opened up my Tidal and I was getting ready. I was stretching and bending down and touching my toes, getting ready to get on the elliptical pause if necessary. And I was pulling up my Vultures Volume 1 and all the songs was blacked out. And I was like, it must be a bug. So I hit refresh on the page because I had listened to it that recently where it was still on my phone. When I hit refresh, it was like, we're sorry. This album has been removed from the server. I said, hell no, nigga. I started like sweating. Like, I started getting a little sweat. Bro, and you might laugh at me, and I'm okay to be laughed at because this is the section of the podcast you've been waiting for. We're getting there now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I started sweating and I started going, this is the only rap album I'm listening to. I'm enjoying this. I need to listen to this album. I was even like, I'll buy it if I need to. And I went to Apple Music to try to buy it, and they didn't let you purchase the album as a package. You had to buy each song individually for $1.30. And I was like, I'm not paying $20-something for a fucking album in 2024. So then I started to look, and I was like, well, Apple Music has it streaming. Tidal don't got it, but Apple hadn't got it. So I canceled my Tidal subscription and logged into an Apple Music subscription just solely based on the Vultures Volume 1 album.
That's wild.
That's wild, ain't it? I knew it was wild while I was doing it.
I feel like we've been having Apple Music Tidal arguments for 3 years.
That's why I knew you would like this part. I knew you would like this part of the conversation. Like, I left Tidal. And then I was even telling my wife when she was having to, like, show me how to even cancel my subscription, because, you know, I don't know nothing about tech and canceling subscriptions. So I was telling her, I was like, you know, the only reason why I got Tidal to begin with was to support Jay-Z and Kanye when it first came out.
Y'all, I've been sending this nigga Apple Music links for the last
five fucking years.
Ass nigga been like, I'll look it up on Tidal.
I'll have to copy and paste it.
Search it on Tidal, see if we have that over here. Like,
well, the quality is much better. Well, now I'm on Apple Music and I had to cancel my subscription to Tidal. And here's why I'm going to, like, okay. So I had to do that, and then it dawned on me. Well, it didn't even dawn on me. I thought about it immediately just because of how my mind works. Like, damn, I got to cancel my Tidal. Well, let me remember to send my homeboy a text and let him know, like, hey, the Tidal about to run out, because, like, he shares the streaming service with me. And I'm like, I never want to be that friend that's like, oh, you can use my Netflix, and then you one day go in to log in to watch your shows, and then it's just gone, and I ain't say shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I immediately hit the broski up, like, hey, bro, I'm about to get up off this Tidal. It says that it should be good until this date, so go ahead and rock out. And as soon as it's over, just shoot me a text, and I'll give you the new password for the Apple, and we good.
bro, did you, and maybe we're getting there, but like, did you think this all the way through before you get, because now your whole, like, what, however long, last 3 years worth of music that you've listened to is just no longer readily available. No. Like, where it's been housed at for you. You literally got to go back and like refine
it. Download and shit. Well, yeah. I do have Tidal long enough to like, when we wrap up this podcast, I can sit here with my Tidal open and like redo my playlist that I've made and shit like that. It's going to take a little minute, but I can do it.
Nightmare.
But I'd rather do all of that and re-download my Timberland playlist than to not have Vultures Volume 1. Now, I'm talking about this, and Vultures Volume 1 is probably back on Tidal now, and it's probably good, but I done switched now. I done fucking switched now, and Apple is cheaper, so I'm not all the way mad. It's going to take me a little time to learn how to work the fucking Apple Music. I got Apple Music albums from when I had an iPhone 3 back in the day, so it was good to see my Far Side show back up and my ringtones from back in the day. So that was kind of cute to see that shit. But I say all that to say, I hit the homie up and was like, hey, bro, da 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 da, like, you know, let me know when you're ready for the password, and I got you. The party don't stop. I still got you over here on Apple whenever you're ready. He's like, bet, bro, like, you super responsible. Now, I'm not going to use no names here because I'm going to take this part of the story to pause and say, I hope my family don't mind me sharing this story, because none of this story is intended to be in a negative light for anybody. I just find it interesting and worthy of sharing. So here we go. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
So I hit my broski up and told him all of that. He's like, bet. And he was like, man, you cracked me up. Why are you so responsible? Like, you hit me up right away to let me know that the music might run out. Like, why are you like this? And I'm like, bro, you like, you know, I joke back with him, like, bro, you hate having a responsible friend that lives in another country. What's wrong with you? You know, so we joking back and forth, as we always do. And then he hit me back and he was like, hey, bro, I got an imaginary bone to pick with you that I've been meaning to hit you up about, but like, I've just been kind of like forgetting about it. It's not that big a deal. I'm like, hit me, bro. What's up? What do I do? So here we go. You got your thinking cap on?
Yes,
because
sir.
I find this to be an interesting, dissectable moment. And I know who's going to hear this, and I'm not even going to say his name because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea in case I say something wrong here. Because my intent is not to paint anybody wrong. I just find it interesting, and I think it's going to be good to talk about because of some things you've said over the past few months as well, Wes. Okay. So he hit me up, and he was like, he's closing his eyes to listen to me now. He's really taking this serious. So he hit me up, and he's like, I've been having an imaginary bone I want to pick with you, you know, as my brother. This ain't no big deal, but I just want to kind of shoot you this shit. And I'm like, bet, bro, go ahead and shoot. So first, let me let you know that he was busy while he was texting me. So he was texting me in intervals of like 30, 40, 45 minutes. And he knew, he even apologized. Like, bro, my bad that this conversation is so like disconjointed, but I'm on the grill and I got a lot of shit going on. But what people don't know about me is I'm always an emotional wreck, right? So even when somebody tells me I need to talk to you, my heart is pounding until you tell me what you need to talk to me about. Now I'm like literally having a miniature heart attack. Like, damn, what did I do? Like, I'm literally thinking like, what did I do, bro? Like, what do you got to talk to me? Even though he already preferenced the conversation by saying, it's an imaginary bone. It's not a big deal, but I just want to tell you about something.
Right.
But I'm freaking out because here's the thing. I've said on here before a lot of times with y'all that people are the most important thing to me, right? Especially people that are close to me. And this is one of my closest fucking friends in the world. Like, this is like my brother. So he's hitting me up. He's like, I got to talk to you about something. I'm going to stop dragging this out on y'all. I know y'all are like, well, niggas, spit it out. What'd he say? What he said was, because he listens to the podcast every week like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I've been meaning to tell you, dog, I really don't care for you calling Cam a bitch on the podcast when you be telling your story. Fire, ain't it? You see why I wanted to bring this up?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said in the text, because he cares about me, he cares about his niece, he cares about my wife, he cares about all of us, right? So he just wanted to be very clear that, like, listen, bro, I'm just expressing my concerns. I know you don't mean it, but he's just like, it just rubs me the wrong way. I know you joking, but just when I hear it, it just don't feel good because that's my niece, you my brother. I know you don't mean it, but he's like, what if she hears it one day on the podcast and she don't know how to take it? And like, he expressed himself thoroughly. And I told him, I said, you know what, bro? I respect what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I got you. Like, I hear that. You know what I'm saying? That makes total sense to me. Now, pause for a second, because we will pick this story back up. You know how for the last few months, maybe even a year, you've been saying, I really need somebody to come check me because I feel like I've been right too much. Mm-hmm. If somebody needs to come along in my life that cares about me to say, hey, maybe you're not right about everything. Mm-hmm. Well, in you asking for that, I didn't ask to be corrected. Why am I kidding? Yeah, Brosky had an immaculate point.
That is misdirected.
He said, like, correct Wes. Wes was asking to be corrected.
I'm the guy in the YouTube comments. I'm not that guy.
Like, ha ha ha, call my daughter the B word. Like, he fully understood I was joking. He knows me. He knows my humor. Like, right. He was not trying to tell me how to parent, trying to reprimand me or make me feel bad. Although, because I'm an overthinker and I'm sensitive, I did feel bad. I ain't gonna lie, because I'll be honest with you, him, and the rest of the listening audience, right? When I make those jokes, when I say the joke, I'll be feeling kind of like, I hope they know that's a joke. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those jokes I'll be telling that I'll be already feeling like it's a little bit on the line. And I kind of feel like you be kind of feeling like that too. Like,
So, since we're here, you know, since we've arrived.
Shout out to the homie for bringing us here, right? We shout do need to thank him.
Definitely shout out to the homie for bringing this here. Okay. Shout out to Cam. Let's shout out to Cam.
Shout out to Cam.
For whenever she hears this when she's 19.
Hopefully she's old enough to understand.
And let's talk about that part, right? Like, yes. Hopefully by the time that she's...
You see why I thought this was so interesting already? You absolutely can't wait to dig into this. 100%.
Because it's not that it's timely, but like, I've literally like sat here at this podcast where that's happening, like almost like had a That's So Raven moment. That? Should we talk about it? Like, or should I just let it fly? And like... I don't want to sound like I'm all over the place, but because I do, and maybe because I'm looking at you and I understand the, you know, how this podcast goes, I know that it's a joke, right? So like, I can't even put a time frame on it, but let's say of the four times maybe in the life of the podcast.
I know every time I've done it, it's been three.
That's what I said, maybe four. But the first time and the second time, we'll say it was like... The first time it was like, all right, that's a joke. I can tell that's a joke. That's great. And like, let me say, I can tell they're all jokes. Let me not say that they never don't sound like a joke, because I get it. The second time it was like, again? The second time. And maybe this is why bro felt compelled to say something.
And I'm not mad at him. We got to make sure we keep injecting 100%. This is marinating in the chicken breast. We got to let y'all know that bro 100%. Is right.
He's 100% right. And like, I think it was the last one. I don't know what the last one was.
The last one was, he told me, he was like, bro, when you told the story about her throwing up in your car, I was mad. He's like, I could not take it. He's like, I love your stories, bro, but that one was just too far.
I think the last one was a little agree. And again, I've had these moments in real time, and it's like, well, no, because I know that he doesn't mean it in that way.
There's
definitely comedic value to it, but like, It's something, and again, that's why I'm saying, like, hopefully by the time that Cam would stumble upon this, she would not only have a understanding of humor just on a basic level, but like her father's specific humor.
Yes.
Particularly if you start at episode zero, and it don't even have nothing to do with episodes. If she knows you, I don't think that she would be, I think she would get the laugh that you said it to intend to have. Versus feeling hurt by it. But like, yeah, I think it was the last one that made bro. that's what made it a bone. It was imaginary.
It was a bone. And for all of y'all, I'm sure he ain't the only one that's listened to this podcast and heard me say anything, not just about Cam, but about Donovan or anybody that they know. And I'm sure a lot of y'all have winced at some of the things I've said on here before and shit like that. Now, even if y'all understand that these is jokes and it's meant to be entertainment and shit like that, there's a line, right? There's a line, and the line's placement might vary based on who's listening, who's affected, and all of that shit. And I think that we got a good enough audience that can respectively acknowledge that everybody's line is different.
And then, like, let's also, like, be real and acknowledge real human feelings. And, like, not only sometimes are they little B words. Let's be very, very real. But, like, sometimes... that's how I feel when I'm speaking about it. Like, it is what it is.
That's true. Because, like, I think I've told you before on here or maybe in private conversations, like, Cameron's nickname around here is Butt Butt. We call her Butt Butt. Well, Butt Butt is derived from asshole. Because when she used to be little, and she used to come to the barbershop with me, and she would be, like, hindering me from making the money I need to pay my bills because she was being moody that day. Asshole. Like, instead of calling her an asshole, I would call her Butt Butt. And we still call her Butt Butt. And then evolved to Pumpkin Butt and shit like that, because pumpkin pie, Butt Butt, Pumpkin Butt, that. You know what I'm saying? So it's... again, I understand it's all fun and games, but I also understand that everybody don't get it. And should they get it? They don't have to. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not me saying I don't give a fuck about how people feel about how I talk. But I think it's important to state, and I like the fact that I have friends and family in my life that can say that kind of stuff to me. And I ain't gonna lie, like, it hurt because I respect bro so much that when he told me, he didn't even say he was upset with me. He just him expressing being bothered by something like that. In the 20 plus years I've known him, maybe two times he's ever been upset with me. Right. So when he tells me that he's got a bone to pick with me, I take that shit very seriously because this is my nigga. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And like, again, shout out to bro, not wrong. But again, like you say, I've asked myself that question. Like, do I address this with my nigga? Right. Mm-hmm, and it's like, not that it's not my place to address it.
Cause it is his place. That's his niece. He can say that.
And I feel like I could ask the same thing if I really wanted to be like, hey, yeah, man, like we gotta. Because that's all I say. Like, hey, we gotta stop that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you said that with shit before, where it's just like, with our content, like, hey, can we? We don't got to do that no more.
we don't got to do that no more, man. We don't really got to be that way. Yeah, so, like, there. But again, like, maybe just because I have an understanding and I get a chance to see it. So that's one of those things that's what it translates into across the way. If you can't see us dying laughing and my, you know what I'm saying? My nigga tell it, like, he had to think about calling Cam a bitch. Like, he didn't just,
saw the pause in my face before I said it. he said it
for like dramaticism to the story. It's not just because I think Cam is a bitch. Like,
No. It was to add a little shade, a little flavor to it. It was a little nutmeg. There's another aspect to this too. I'm glad you brought it up too. And I want to talk about all shades of this because I find it all interesting, but it also was another reminder of me that I'm not home. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, this is not thinking that bro was wrong or nothing, but I feel like if I was home and I said some shit like this, or I said it in front of him, I think he would have more context and more flavor. But because he don't see me and Cameron every day, it's probably easier to misreceive that. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the second point I want to get to. I joke with Cameron how I joke with Jay, right? I've called Jay little nigga and little punk ass, and you know what I'm saying? Like, look, probably maybe not punk ass, but shit, like, I've told the line with my son before and the way I address him with shit. Not all the time, but every now and then I'll throw him a little curveball to wake him up and let you know, like, hey, your dad is a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I want my daughter to have the same experiences with me.
Right.
Like, absolutely, I'm her protector. Absolutely, if somebody fuck with Cameron, like, we out here, nigga. Like, don't ever get it fucked up because I talk like this on the podcast that it won't go down. I told y'all just a week or so ago that, nigga, if you drive your car too fast around my daughter, I might whoop your ass, nigga. Like, I don't play about Cam. Niggas know that. And I think part of why I joke so dangerously when it comes to her is because I love her so much. And let me explain. I know that probably sounds like, all right, nigga, you just making shit up now to excuse yourself. But again, me and Donovan spent months in the hospital with this baby when she was born. Like, a time we can never fucking change and get back. And, like, that was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life, was watch my baby be hooked up to machines and tubes and not be sure if she was going to make it, right? So me and her bond is so strong, I feel like we can make dangerous jokes because I treat her 23 hours outside of that bitch, there's no mistaking how I feel about her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she know where she at with her dad and where I'm at with her. Like, Nick, sidebar real quick. Valentine's Day, Cameron came through, I made sure I held them down with the Valentine's Day bags and I brought them flowers and chocolates and shit like that. And there's another part of this I want to talk to you about if we got time. But when I got home from work late that day after the gym into the evening and shit, I walked through the door and Cameron hugged me. Daddy, thank you for the chocolates. I love the treats. And, oh, look, I love the stuff you got me. And happy Valentine's Day. And then she looked at me. She said, Daddy. And I was like, what's up? She was like, I'm sorry, I forgot to get you something for Valentine's Day. As a dad, you eat that, right? Like, me and you talk about shit like that all the time. Father's Day, Valentine's Day. Like, that is our responsibility and role to be forgotten about, right? So I ain't want to ruin her down. Don't worry about it, baby. It ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Happy Valentine's Day. Mwah. I hope you had a good day. Did you pass out all your cards? Me and you stayed up all night working on that you forgot about me? All of that shit, right? Man. I go into the room. I microwave my dinner and I sit on the bed to eat. And she comes out of her room with a blanket and a stuffy. And I'm like, what the fuck going on here? It ain't no fucking weekend now. You ain't spending the night in here. She lays the blanket on the ground and she sees I'm eating my food. And she grabs my hand and she's like, come on, daddy. It's picnic time. So she sat out a picnic in our bedroom floor because she realized she forgot about me on Valentine's Day and wanted to have a picnic with me. And it clicked to me late. Like, at first I was kind of grumpy, like, nigga, let me eat my fucking microwave dinner. What you bothering me for? And then I realized, like, oh, shit, she's trying to make up for Valentine's Day. So let me sit on the floor with her. And we, like, bonded and had a little time. Donovan came, sat on the floor with us and all of that shit. But that just goes to show, like, there ain't nothing lacking in me and her relationship. So if y'all worried about that by the jokes I make, then rest assured that we're good on that. It's just I also want my daughter to have the same experience with me that my son has, because I don't hide shit with Jay. I'm cat around Jay, and I'm cat around Cameron. I want her to know my sense of humor. I want her to know my sense of humor goes too far sometimes. And a little bit further than that, this is another thing that I explained to bro. And again, I want to be careful not to say names, because he probably don't care if I say his name, but just to be on the safe side. Like, I explained to him through a long wall of text, because he let me know how he felt a couple times. And I respect it, bro. All right, I respect it, bro. And then after a while, I was like, all right, bro, do you want me to really say everything? Because I'll go ahead and say it. Like, you know, I was ping-ponging it back a couple of texts. Like, bro, okay, I respect it. I hear you. Doop. Click, I hear you, bro. I got you. Click. And then after, like, the fourth text, I was like, all right, bro, do you want me to really, like, go into this whole thing? Because I will. It's deeper than just what you think. But if you got time, I'll just shoot you the long-ass text. So I sent him the text, and I told him, and this is how I think, and I preference all of this by saying, I'm not saying this in expectance of agreement from Wes or the listening audience. This is just explaining to y'all how my mind works, right? It ain't just me saying that as a joke. It's also a layer, and I've thought about this several times. It's also a layer of, I know my daughter and I know how big her heart is. And I know that one day somebody's going to say something that's going to hurt her feelings out there in the real world, whether it be on the playground, at school, whatever. And I don't want my daughter to live in such a fairy tale world that she might not ever hear or feel something that doesn't feel nice. And the way I process it in my mind is like, I need to make sure that she understands that real things are going to get said to her sometimes. That doesn't make it okay. But I'm scared of my daughter going to school and being called a name on the playground for the first time and then it devastating her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if I can put a little bit of in there, a little, you know what I'm saying? A little, and throw some curves here and there, maybe she'll be ready for it and can handle it a little bit better. Because here's another thing, right? How do I put this? So I was having a conversation because it was Valentine's Day with some of my coworkers, and you know how I feel about the whole dating your daughter thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm anti-date your daughter. And they was telling me, like, you don't date your daughter, bro? Like, they essays and shit. So they're very into the whole, like, easy year, take your daughter on a date. One of the bro was saying the same thing that all dads of daughters say. Bro, you got to take them on dates, because if you don't show them how they're supposed to be treated, then they won't know that you're supposed to open the car door for them and fucking lay your jacket over a puddle. Like, dog, I don't believe in none of that shit, because I don't want my daughter feeling like no man out there is good enough for her. And they're totally okay with setting that precedent. And I'm not mad at that. That's just not what I believe. Like, I'm not going to tell nobody how to raise their daughters, but I don't want my daughter to think she can't bring no boy home because I'm not going to think nobody's good enough. I'm just anti that. So, like, I want my daughter to be ready for the real world. And I like it to, have you ever heard a dad say about their son, if he was going to smoke weed, I'd rather even do it with me first?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my theory on this. Like,
right.
I think one day somebody's going to say something harmful for my daughter. I'd rather her hear it for the first time in this house where it's safe than hear it for the first time and it devastate her and put her on her ass. Now, that might sound crazy, but that's just the way that my mind ticks.
No, but I guess what that warrants is an example. You know what I'm saying? Because you can say that, but, like, what are you saying to Cam at home that you're beating somebody to the punch to outside? Because we can't use...
I'll give you an example. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Here a couple of days ago, like, I was playing the game. She came in here to give me hugs and kisses and shit, and we talking. She usually will bring, like, some of her little toy ice cream cones in here. I'm like, Daddy, I made you ice cream. I'll play, lick it, hand it back, that kind of shit while I'm on the computer. Mm-hmm. And she came in here, and she was talking to me, and she was sitting on my lap, and we was chilling as we normally do. And I normally get up and get myself some water. I'm trying to drink more water and shit like that. And I... Mm-hmm. thought to myself, like, she might be big enough to go in the fridge and she might enjoy. She likes little shit like that. Like, I can do it by myself. And I'm like, baby, you want to get daddy some more water? Not that I always ask her to just fucking rub my feet or no shit like that, but I've never asked her before. And she was excited. She was like, I can do it. Yeah, daddy, I'll get you some water. So I handed her my cup and I was like, let's see if you can do it without making a mess and spilling water all over the floor and shit like that. So she went and got the water, brought it back, and she was super like proud to bring her dad some water. And I was like, oh shit, you did it. I fuck with that. I'm asking, like, did you remember to close the fridge? She's like, yeah, I closed it. So I took a couple sips of water, sat it down, and she kind of gave me that look. And I looked back at her, and I know my baby. I was like, you want some water, babe? And she was like, yeah, I want some water. So she picks up the water and she's downing it. Like, she's fucking chug lug lugging that shit. And I turned and looked and I was like, bitch, give me my water. What's wrong with you? And when I said it to her, you know what she did? She spit snot bubbles back into the water. So she said she thought it was funny.
Legit. Not legit. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it warranted a real life example.
That, like, was the real life example I got for you. I was like, bitch, what's wrong with you? You drinking all my water? And she was like, yeah. She could not believe I said that to her. Like, that was a curve. I don't normally talk like that to her.
Like,
but every now and then, you got to get her in the gut.
And again, not that we looking to like checkmate, bro, or no shit. Not
at all.
Like, that's the counterattack to that. And it's like, hey, you want, and again, it's all perception. You know what I'm saying? Because Cam ain't sitting here on the podcast to defend himself. Yeah. Niggas ain't around there every day to know that that's what you're doing. But like, nah, I agree with that 100%. Cause it's the same thing that I do with my kids. You know how many times a day I tell my kids they got big ass heads?
Yeah.
That they ugly and all types of shit going on. Like, your feet stink. Like,
why do you do that?
Because when you hear that shit from anywhere else, like,
it's going to be rudimentary to you.
Yeah. And you know, I'm fucking with you. Like, so if you can get through me fucking with you and I'm always fucking with you,
the world can't fuck with you.
That shit outside.
Because I want my daughter to be quick. Like, I want her to be witty like her dad. And that ain't something that you just always necessarily born with. Sometimes that takes training to be quick. Like, me and Glove talk about it a lot. Glove tells me about how his daughter is quick. And airline is quick. You know what I'm saying? And like, I want Cameron to be quick. Like, if somebody says some foul shit to her at school, I want her to be quick. Like, oh shit, this shit is crazy with it.
Yeah, I might do that as like, I might ask you for a hug, and while you giving me a hug, I might tell you like,
yeah, you stink.
And all you do is watch TV. Like, I'm again, but like, it's love involved here. Yes. I just want you to know, like.
Again, this is not us dunking on, bro, but I was glad that he hit me about it, because that shows, because he even said, and he was right, he was like, you know, I'm not saying none of this to make you feel bad or nothing. He was like, you know, you one of the best dads I know in the world. So he was like, honestly, if I didn't say this to you, I would feel like less of a friend to you. And I was like, you are absolutely 100% right. Because even if I don't agree with you, I would want you to feel like you can talk to me about how you feel.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? And it is your business. Like, I know we talk about mind your business a lot around here, and some of y'all niggas can't say shit to me about Cam, but he can. You know what I'm saying? There ain't a whole lot of y'all that can say anything. So don't get this part of the podcast fucked up. Like, I don't want y'all's emails. A lot of y'all can't say shit, but bro can. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the beauty in the statement, right? It's a double entendre. It's like, mind your business, and like, mind the business that's yours.
Right,
like,
but that's your business.
Yeah, so that's your business. I welcome you. Like, you have rights to say something behind that.
Yeah, you can, like, say something, just like my wife can say something.
Yeah, not only mind your business, take care of your business for the people who haven't gotten it so far.
Yeah, exactly. So if my wife heard the episode and she ain't like what I was saying, she could absolutely say, hey, babe, I know you being funny, but I don't like that. And she said that kind of shit before, and I respect it, and I'll change it if I got to change it. Ain't no problem. Mm-hmm. It's just jokes, bro. We can talk for an hour and a half. We'll find something else to talk about. It's not that hard.
Sure.
Another thing I want to talk about family. So me and my wife was sitting here and we was having like a little moment where we was R&B'd up and we was doing, like you suggested, having a little bit of alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't got to get blacked out every time. We was having a little bit of alcohol and we was chilling. And I was looking at my wife's wedding rings and we was talking about, you know, our anniversaries coming up. And also shout out to Reams. Reams got an episode where he interviewed me and Donovan on his coming up series, talking to couples and shit like that. So he kicked it off with us. So that'll be coming up soon if it ain't out already on the Late Night with Reams podcast. But anyway, me and her was talking and I was looking at her wedding rings and she's got like the set where it's like the engagement ring and the wedding band, right? Mm-hmm. So does your wife have a set?
She does.
Okay.
She does, there's two bands in an engagement ring.
Two bands, and explain that to me. How does that work? I don't know nothing about the two bands.
I mean, it's just a band.
It's just two bands. Okay.
Band in the back.
My bad, I didn't ask too much. Nigga, it's just what it came. It's the ask the store. Ask the store, nigga. She liked them. We got them. What do you want me to say?
She didn't even like them first. I just bought them.
Bro, sometimes you got to just get the shit, bro.
Yeah, she wasn't involved. Fuck her.
I was looking at her hand, right? And my wife wears her rings, the engagement band closest to her. So it's the first ring on, and then the engagement ring is on. And I was looking at her hand, and I was like, why you wear your rings wrong? Like, what's up with you?
That's definitely wrong.
And she was like, no, this is correct. And I was like, bitch, no. See, like, I'm just going crazy now. Bitch, no, it's wrong. No, we was having a good laugh. And I was like, no, that's wrong, because I was saying, like, this is wrong because for two reasons. I give you your engagement ring first because we're making a commitment to each other. And then at the ceremony, I give you your wedding band, and that stacks on top of that. Not only that, but your wedding band locks in the engagement, figuratively speaking. And she was like, all that sound fly and you do a podcast, but you're wrong. So at that point, I had to get off my high horse about thinking I'm always right. And we Googled it, and turns out she was right. It is traditional that you're supposed to wear your wedding band closest to your heart, as it explains. Your wedding band goes closest to your heart, and the engagement band comes after. And then once I gave her respect. I was like, damn, you're right. I'm wrong. Let me just say that first. But then I was like, but also that's stupid, because
it is very stupid.
It's stupid for one.
You gotta take it off.
It's stupid for one. That's not the order in which I gave these to you.
Right.
I got engaged with you first. It went on. And then I gave you the wedding. Like, at what point did the ceremony get over? We jumped the broom. They threw flower petals at us. And then what? In the limo, nigga, you switched them around?
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid to me.
Like, essentially, once you put them on, they're supposed to stay on. Like, that's
they're supposed to stay the way they went. You're never supposed to take these off. So at what point did they flip around?
Yeah, I guess if we're going by 1800s rules, then you could go by that. But like, now it makes me
sound salty.
Yeah, not for sure. It makes me want to like Google the theory behind the three, right? Because even like, I thought that was weird, but I thought it was fly at the same time. Like, I don't know what this is for. So the way that I played it was like, when I proposed, it was like, hey, here go a band for like the relationship that we've already had so far. Mm-hmm. Like, here goes the engagement ring.
Because this I'm is me marrying you as a girlfriend. Here's my promise to you, and here's the official.
Yeah. And then the last one is like, once we go meet the man, like then I go slide the last one on you. But like, I got jacked for the third band. Like same, like 10 minutes after I proposed, nigga, she was like, "Let me see that," and then I never seen a third band ever again.
No shit.
She's been wearing it the entire time.
Okay. So, and then here's my second thing that I think is bogus on. I think they want your engagement ring further away because you can lose it easier. Because that's the expensive one. The engagement ring is the one with the big ass solitary diamond on there. Bro, and wedding bands cost a couple hundred dollars. Them shits is a dime a dozen. You can find them shits easy anywhere. But that engagement ring is the motherfucker that you got to keep going to Zales and making payments on. So I think they want that closer to the outside so that bitch can fall off.
Yeah, that's not a bad theory though. I kind of, but like I said, that's why I kind of like the band on both sides now. Like, you just got to
lock it in both ways.
Lock it in.
It ain't gonna fall off, and your body ain't gonna suck it up. Like, nothing's gonna happen. Yeah, I'd be worried about that because I tried to laugh and I was joking, but I was serious with her about like, nigga, that's what we're concerned about. Like, we like you wearing your wedding rings and all of that, but nigga, we're concerned about the one we spent thousands of dollars on. Like, that's what we want you to lock down and secure. This wedding band is cool, nigga, but I spent bread on that rock.
That's why you got to get them all together, man. Get the set, brother. Get the
sets, bro. Well, it's about to be that time for us. We getting close to like them round number anniversary years and shit, and where they say you supposed to upgrade rings and shit like that. So I got to do some thinking about all that kind of shit. So. But yeah, we was talking about that, and we was having a lot of good couple talks this past week. Another good one we had when we was in the car making our way home, and I think you'll like this one. We was chatting about, I was telling her that I was looking to maybe try to get rid of some shoes soon, right? Because I'm starting to like run out of room and shit. And there's some shoes I don't be wearing that much, and I could probably get a couple dollars for them and just clear some space and shit. And she was like, you know what? She was like, man, this is another reason why I got to die before you, right? Because we always joke about that. Like, who gets to die first?
Rid of these fucking shoes.
She was like, I got to die before you because when you die, I'm not going to know what to do with any of that shit. And I laughed and laughed because I was like, you know what? I can already see a world where I pass away and you got all these dead stock Jordans that's worth hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars. And you're there's a nigga that's finessing you while you still in heartache over my passing, going, yeah, man, this LeBron South Beaches, they a little bit yellow. And bro, I'll give you 45. Like, I'll give you $45 for them. Yo, she's probably thinking she's getting over. And this, bro, I'm sure there's widows all over the world that's getting finessed for their husband's dead goods, bro.
I'm sure. And that's some bullshit, too, when I be watching these fucking sneaker reviews or motherfuckers trying to sell their sneakers. Like, that'd be the motherfuckers go-to. Like, ah, they're yellowing a little bit. Like, I did something to that.
Like, no,
man, they just...
Yeah, that atmosphere did that, nigga. Yeah. Not me.
They existed. How the fuck you gonna penalize me for that?
I got a little bit of yelling and yellowing in the soul. Like, I didn't. What you think I peed on them?
I feel like you can say that every time. It's like an alternator in a car. You can be like, ah, yeah, man. I just feel like it's your alternator.
It's such like bullshit because nigga could look at your J's and be like, yeah, bro, this leather got a little bit too much cow in it. I need a discount. But what are you even talking about? So yeah, I told her I like. I'm going to have a good laugh from heaven watching her get completely swindled for all of this money she should be getting. She was like, well, can't you just like write on a piece of paper how much each shoe is worth? And I was like, babe, it fluctuates from week to week. When I die, like it ain't no telling. You got to watch the market. Like there's nothing you can do. Like you're going to get taken advantage of. I'm going to laugh from heaven. And this is just what it is, bro. Like hopefully I can catch it right before I die and sell it with the wherewithal and then put the money in your pocket. But other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
Tell her if I'm still hanging around, just call me, man. We were the same size.
Just send them all to Wes. I started to say that. Like, send them, split them up between Wes and Reams and just send them all to both of them niggas. They wear my size.
For sure.
Yeah, I'd rather a nigga enjoy them than you be stressed out about, like, should I sell them for $60 or $600? Like, it's just so hard to fucking figure out. What else we got? Mel sucks on the JBP. Joe Budden podcast. You've been telling me about it a lot lately. I've been catching clips. She had a clip on a short on that came across my feed where she was talking about stay-at-home husbands. Have you seen that clip or heard her talk about that at all?
I'm sure I have. If you know, keep talking, I'm sure I'll recollect. Yeah,
but I was kind of asking her, like, could she deal with a man that was a quote-unquote stay-at-home husband? And that term being, like, a husband that did not have a job, but he held it down. He held down the fort as much as possible while you went out there and earned the money. So she's Melissa Ford. She's an ex-video vixen. She's on a JBP. She got it. This is their example. This ain't me saying it because I don't really care for it too much. But like they're saying you got it, but your husband, he's laying down perfect dick. He got the house clean. He can cook. He's walking the dogs. He don't irritate you. He's faithful. Like everything else you want from him, he's A-plus status. Only he don't got a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, and she was like, well, I mean, is he trying to build a business? Is he at least a go-getter? And they wouldn't let her get it off. They was like, no, no, none of that. Actually, the thought of having a job stresses him out.
Yeah, but, gives him highs. He breaks out the highs.
Yeah, like, but he can make a bomb-ass banana souffle, and he takes care of the dogs, washes the cats, he vacuums the floor, the house is spotless, he rubs your feet, he does everything else. Dick is big, and it's good. Like, they was giving him everything else, but he just didn't have a job. And even that, she was like, I just need a nigga to have some business about. I was like, God damn. And now, first of all, let me say, I don't think she's a bitch for none of this. Like, people can have their preferences. Like, she don't have to want a stay-at-home husband. She can want her husband to go to work. I don't think there's anything wrong with her wanting her guy to have a job. She might even want him to do all those things perfectly and still have a job. It's impossible, but she can want whatever she wants. She just might not be able to ever find it. But I found it interesting because I know some stay-at-home husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Just ain't none of them black. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's another one of those interesting things where it's like across the pond, it's perfectly acceptable. But in our culture, it's a big, big no-no. And I don't know that everybody that's not in our culture knows that that's absolutely unacceptable. And I'm not even trying to lobby for like women need to give us a break and let us stay at home. I think niggas should get their ass up and go to work, honestly. Like, because I don't believe that, you know, me and your mantra is like, we hold down the fort, we're the protectors, mm-hmm. we're security and safety. I don't think you can claim to be safety and security if you don't never leave the crib. Like, well, the bitch better be safe. You here all day. Like, yeah, how could it be unsafe?
I beg to differ, brother.
Oh, please. Please.
Yeah, I beg to differ. Me and my wife have already had this conversation.
Nice.
If my wife hits a certain number, like, she has kind of assured me that I can stay,
my black home?
At home.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I stay home now. Now, you know what I'm saying? But like, she has kind of told me, like, hey, if I make this amount of money, like, nah.
You can stop logging in. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, basically.
You already home, but you ain't got to log in.
Yeah, like, and knowing me, there's other things that I would want to focus on for sure. But again, if we got to that point and we've worked out all the logistics and the numbers, and it's like, I can still afford to go get my little pack. And now the house is my responsibility. I would 1000% do it, right? But it's only a recent conversation, because what people don't realize most of the times is that we are still living in history, right? So like, we are just now getting to a place where a lot of women make more money than men.
Agree.
So when this was, you know, when the swing was on the other side and that was a heavy conversation, why would it naturally not become a conversation? Because again, let's say a woman gets pregnant, she's pregnant 9-10 months, she has a baby, she's out for 10 weeks, but like, she got the job that makes the money and she don't have time to, you know, spend 6 months at home with it, because I got to make the bread. Like, this is my job, this is my career, this is what I got to do. And it's like, if that creates the best situation for y'all at home, then why not, bro? Like, and not to say that you don't have a career or a job as well, but like, it's the ego, man. A lot of people get caught up in ego, dog, because why? Yes, she goes to work and she makes the money that, you know, brings home the dollars. But like, you cleaning the house and you cooking the meals and you taking care of the dogs.
Should carry equal weight or close to?
It's a value of shit that needs taken care of, that if I was not here to take care of it, guess what you would have to do? Either do it or pay for it.
Right.
So like, again, a lot of that internet shit comes from a 90s POV for real. People have not like evolved their thinking. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, hey, nigga, you need to go out. You need to have a job. You need to take it. Even back to your male perspective, like, it's so easy. Back in the day, it was so easy for a nigga to just be like, yeah, girl, stay. Make sure the house is taken care of. I don't give a fuck. Like, we don't need you to be reading a book every goddamn day. A nigga wasn't quizzing his, hey, bitch, did you read a book today? Like, what happened on the front page of the newspaper? Like, no, a nigga, bitch, is the house clean? Is my meal, is these kids okay? Like, mm-hmm. is everything in order around this motherfucker? But like, for a bitch, like, and this is why you always see those memes and you hear motherfuckers talk bad. Like, if a nigga can't monetarily provide anything for a woman, why would she keep him? Like, why? What do she like? Yeah, I like him because he's free with his spell. Okay, but like, how long is you just gonna let this nigga be? Even a bitch, I seen a clip that's rolling around now and was like, and I agree, we've had this conversation before and I've said it, like, my son and my daughters won't be able to date until like, y'all got some money. Like, particularly my son, I'll use my son. Like, bro, you need at least about 5-10 grand before you start entertaining these hoes out here, fam. Because like you say, I need you to be able to go out and spend the $400-$500 on a date if you want to ball on the beach. But I also need you to be able to recover if she don't answer your text the next day. And I don't need that to be your whole stash that you blew.
I don't want you to be sitting in the dark parking lot because you spent that $400-$500 because now she ain't answering your text.
And now it's a lesson learned.
Don't be outside the call center.
Yeah, it's a lesson learned, and you still got a pocket of money. You know what I'm saying? To go and like not make that same mistake all over again. So like, I'm just. It's ways that it can be done. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's what in each situation is different. But sure. Like, again, I would want 100. I would, what if she come? If she, hey, babe, I made the number. I'd be like, so should I give him a 2 weeks?
Right. How are we doing this?
Or should I send him my wife said, I don't need this bullshit no more email. Like,
can I ask you a question? How long in your adult life have you been unemployed? If at all?
In my adult life, I've only been an adult the hell for
like, I'm going on 2 months of being a real adult.
Yeah, I've only been a real adult for maybe like 7 years now. So I haven't been unemployed. I've been unemployed in my adult life.
Okay, let me, because I like a lot of what you said and agree with a lot of what you said. And this is not me trying to be like, let's have a debate, right? But I call it a retort. Here's my retort. I do believe that there is at least a mentionable percentage of women that think they are okay with their significant others not working until they're not working. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like, and I'm not talking about your situation. I'm talking about just in general. There's probably a lot of women out there. A lot of women is going to say, no, ain't no, they're going to do the mail and just dead that shit at the conversation. Like, nah, I need my nigga to go to work. I need him to have purpose. I need him to have drive. Nah, we not doing it. And then I also think there's a, not considerable amount, but there's a mentionable amount of women that might say, yeah, no, I'm cool with that. Like if he loving me and he making me feel good and like he bringing home the words on from Target and we hanging them up on the wall and our house smell good. We good, baby. Like, do you boo? I think there's probably a good amount of women that think they're okay with it until they're living it. And then like, they can't even articulate why they're not attracted to him no more. Like, they can't tell you exactly, like, it's because this nigga don't go to work no more. It's just like, all of a sudden, like, when I see him, I get the ick, or I don't like that he keeps wearing plaid pants. And they can't really exactly, it ain't even that they're avoiding saying, like, okay, nigga, I don't like you no more because you don't got a job. I think there'd be women that don't even know for real that that be the basis of, like, I thought I was cool with it, and then I found out I'm not as cool with it as I thought.
Man, it's all based on circumstance. Of course. It's all based on situation, right? Like, I would definitely hope that you wouldn't like meet your babe and be like, "Hey, girl,
guess what we doing that quick?
Yes, it's fixed to happen.
You There's fix a lot of conversations work. That need to be had for sure.
And I'm about to stay home, like you say, a nigga like me, a nigga like you. If that happened to be the best situation for what we had going on right now, and again, maybe a part of that conversation is you want to know what I can do this for a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't ever think that's a long-term conversation. Or, again, the same way that the women do it. Like, hey, I'm going to have these babies, and for the next 3 years, like, this is what I'm doing until I can put them in daycare or get them in school.
And then we'll figure out the next step.
Then we can figure out the next
step. I think that's healthy for all situations, right? Like, we can say it's cool if you stay home, but let's talk about it again in 2 or 3 months.
100%, because, again, like, you would – and, again, I'm only speculating, but like even as the women who did that back in the day, like, I mean, you hear about the women who took pride in that being their thing, right? The house being clean, the kids being taken care of, a meal being on the table, you know, hubby get to come home, eat the house, you know, and again, it's a trade off. They don't have to worry about the bills being paid. They don't got to worry about, you know, not having no money to go to the grocery store. Again, the new soccer moms, bitch, just a bottle of wine in the goddamn refrigerator. You can go hit your yoga class in the middle of the day.
A box of wine.
Yeah, a box of wine. You can go, you know, get your nails done or whatever the fucking case may be, kiki with your girlfriends. Like, there's a trade-off. So who's to say that the reverse side of that couldn't happen? Like, that's the same thing I joke with my wife about all the time. Like, oh, if that's the case, guess what I get to do? I get to watch YouTube videos on how to cook and Food Network all day, and I get to come up with some fly shit, and I get to really, like... Because again, we talk about it all the time now, like you work fucking 60 hours a fucking week, and then like you look at your baseboards and you be like, man, I really don't feel like wiping the bitches.
They need to be wiped real bad.
They need to be wiped real bad. Real but bad. Boy, do I not want to wipe those baseboards off. And then that happens for 6 weeks, and now they look terrible. So now you're stuck with either taking the time on top of the 60 plus hours you've already worked and done everything else to wipe your fucking baseboards off and not do anything else and be exhausted or pay somebody, which takes away from, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so why not have a fucking trade-off? But again, my wife says I don't need this shit no more. So now I spend my hours from 8 to 12 on Mondays wiping down baseboards with my glass of wine from the box in the refrigerator in my joint. Like,
now I'm with you. Can I ask you something more specific to y'all? Because we went vague, but I want to like narrow back in again. In y'all's conversations, if you don't mind sharing, has it been more like a If she go up with her job and she got everything covered from a financial aspect, it's part of y'all's conversation for like, okay, you don't got to log in no more, but that allows you the freedom to be able to like go look into coaching that you want to do. Or like, is that the caveat to where like you're freed up, but that's freed up for you to do the things like you can go follow your dreams and 100%. Not waste 8 hours for another nigga. Now you can dump them 8 hours into all the shit that you want to do.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't, like, that's why I say I wanted to keep it on an even keel for the example sake. Like, hey, if I just had to be at home cooking and cleaning and shit, fuck it, sign me up.
Right. But the real talk is like, let's go out here so we can build.
So we can build, because I would want to try, and I don't want to call it return the favor, but like, hey, if you can provide me this time to sit at home and figure this out, like, I might be able to figure something out.
I can go score.
Get you to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And now we can just be out here on the parlay.
So that makes perfect sense.
That's my thought behind it for sure.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. No, I fuck with that. We've had a lot of good conversations here. I kind of want to, like, just get one more thing, and then we can get the fuck out of here. I don't want to ruin a really good show. Did you see, last thing, did you see Stolly from formerly Maybach Music in Ohio? Yeah. Put out a new song with Kevin Durant. Did you see that this past All-Star weekend?
I saw the clip, and Kevin Durant started rapping, and I swiped my phone. Direction I swiped in, I got it out of there.
I would consider myself to be a pseudo Stolly fan. Like, I like Stolly. Yeah. I wish him the best. I always want to see Stolly do good. But songs like this interest me because, like, how do you get in the studio, cook up, mix down, come out, and you end up with a product in hand that's bad for everybody involved? Like, I could see being Stolly and be like, man, if I put a basketball player on this track, it'll get attention from at least all NBA fans. But Kevin Durant's verse was like, it wasn't even whack enough to be funny to get views. It was just right at the level of whack to where it was boring and uneventful. I would have rather it been comically bad than it be boring and uneventful. And then Stolly didn't even kill it so bad to where it's like, okay, eyes are going to come here because it says featuring Kevin Durant. And then I killed the song. Your verses were bad too. So how the fuck did y'all come away from this session with so much mid?
It doesn't make it any better. I seen another clip, not coupled with that, but, like, of course, it's all on the same timeline. They asked Kevin Durant what his responsibilities were, what it felt like to be the A&R for all the dogs. And his reply was, which started with a chuckle, he said, I just talk to Drake all the time, man, and he be telling me how he feel about stuff, and he just gave me that title.
Right. We knew that. Like, nigga, I didn't need Kevin Durant to tell me got to be the EP.
But thank you for telling the truth. Right. Don't let that inflate you to believe that you should go rap on a Stolly project. You know what I'm saying? Because for those who don't know, Ohio and Lincoln Way Nights are great stars.
Ohio is a great album.
That's a great fucking album. You know what I'm saying? Like, so... What? Somebody got to play me a hard KD verse, because we about to stop this whole, like, he is MF Doom and this nigga's betrayed and you niggas just don't know it type bullshit. Like, nah, play the verse then. Play the motherfucking verse.
The MF Doom biopic starring Kevin Durant is insane. And with that being said, let's just get the fuck out of here before we do any more damage. This has been the Dipped in Butter program, man. We appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate you in particular listening while we chop up what happened this week, because it was a good talk, right? I'll be honest with y'all. Like, this was one of my favorite episodes in a long time. I feel like we had a really good talk. I feel better. And this was very productive, man. I hope it was entertaining, because usually when I feel good about our talks, they end up being entertaining. So hopefully this was one of those.
Yeah, I feel like we could have had like a 4-hour talk
for sure
on all of this bullshit. Maybe one day when we see each other in person, whenever the fuck that happens. Yeah, it's your boy West No T and all that other shit you know me for. Just make sure you fuck with me down.
Yes, sir. Like I say, each and every week, the universe is way too big for your little ass problems. And hey. Coming from an overthinker, don't sweat that shit too much, man. That's why I say that shit every week, and I really should take my own advice, right? The universe is way too big for your little ass problems. I be having panic attacks over conversations with niggas that I know just genuinely love me, but that's just the way that my mind and heart is set up, and maybe I need pills.
Rule number one, you already know, like I say, tell a friend and tell a friend, not only about the podcast, but that... Cat calls Cam a bitch out of love, okay? Rule number two, mind your motherfucking business.
Yes, sir. Hopefully next week's episode will be just as good.
You have officially been dipped.